Wasn't until last week I found out that Terry Freitas Gorman actually had and lectures in communications.
I do, yes, indeed. Every fall I've done that since 2006.
Which makes only sense that you're working in communications for the mayor's office.
Yes, I am. And there's a lot going on, as you said, at the county these days.
My gosh. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I guess you're all working overtime, huh?
Well, we have a really good team, and yes, we do spend a lot of time that we're not in the office when we're working from home, but yeah, there's a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you. So here's what's important. These, of course, PAL's important because it really helps, because many families have had situations where what do you do with the kids if you're working, et cetera, and the PALS program's great. That was just announced. That's taking effect as of Sunday to do online, right?
Yes, and the website is live now, so go to mauicounty.gov and look for that information. And I just want to clarify that the Summer PALS program is not free, but it is subsidized. And, you know, the goal, of course, is to provide parents with some assistance, especially as a lot of folks are getting back to work this summer.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's true.
It'll be a good thing for the kids.
And I was very interested in the Maui County renters and utility bills situation, too, because I have to say, you know, I've been subject to, you know, being told, of course, as many people have, that people who are renting. Same situation for me. All of a sudden, the people who own houses go, well, I guess it's time to sell. When you see the average median home going up to almost $1 million, you know,
I think we're a few dollars short of $1 million bucks. Well, within the affordability range of most working people here.
So of course, I'm one of those situations as well. They said, well, we're going to sell. And then, you know, when you go start looking for places, my gosh. It's insane what they're charging for rents right now. Literally, some places that I used to know literally have doubled.
Yep.
Literally have doubled in cost in 5 years to 10 years. And the average rental is $3,500 for a place that would have been maybe $2,000. It's gone up that much.
Yeah, it's nuts. It really
is.
Yeah. I know part of it is during the pandemic, we had some work from home people that moved here from wealthier parts of the mainland that, you know, don't blink an eye at very high rental rates. In addition to that, we've had some offshore investment happening in Maui County during the pandemic. And so it all adds up to a shortage of housing. Whether you're looking for a place to buy, you're looking for a place to rent, whatever. And then, of course, we have a number of homes that were intended for residential use that have been since converted to transient vacation rentals.
Yes, so, that's true.
You know, everywhere you look, there's a shortage of housing and a growing demand need for it. So, yeah.
And it's confusing because literally I've been trying to figure it out. There was a moratorium that was supposed to be until June 8th. And then there was a question of whether that was going to be appealed by the Supreme Court, et cetera, and be taken off. And then some people said, no, that it could be extended. And, of course, this isn't county any longer. This is now state.
Yeah.
And Governor Ige, whether he will try to extend it or whether that's even possible. But that's confusing, too.
Right. And it's even happening at the federal level. So the CDC did want to have an extended moratorium on evictions. But the Supreme Court recently ruled that no. They didn't have the right to do that. So it's happening at every level.
But I think there may be an appeal on that as well.
I believe there is an appeal.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of lives hanging in the balance of happening here.
Yeah.
And it's very concerning. You know, if you're not subject to it, you don't really realize it. But once you're in the middle of what's going on, you know, boy, if you have a place and you own it, God bless you. If you have a place and you're renting it and you have a good landlord that doesn't do this, you are really lucky right now.
That's for sure.
But I really called you in also for another kind of confusing situation. Everyone was very excited about the idea of the fact that now we can travel.
Yes.
Inner island.
Sort of.
That sort of is the word. Sort of. I want a t-shirt that says sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Because okay, so, I mean, I learned because I went inner island, and you know, one thing you need to remember, folks, if you're going to be doing traveling inner island or anywhere, Safe Travels.
That's right.
Safe Travels is a program that needs to be your best friend. I mean, you need to have it.
Your new best friend.
You need to have it marked somewhere on your notes and your phone, because the safe travels thing, if you've traveled it all in and out, and you learn how important that is, right?
That's right. Actually, I just want to clarify, because there's a lot of confusion out there between the state's program and the county's program. So let's start with Maui County's program.
Okay.
This only applies to travelers that are flying from a mainland city directly into Kahului. And a lot of people heard about this post-arrival test, and they got their knickers in a twist. Oh, no, what? Blah, blah, blah. If you are traveling within the state of Hawaii, don't worry about the post-arrival test.
But, see, this is where the confusion comes in. I've had so many people ask me this. Yes, we understand if you're traveling within the inner island, don't worry about it. And that's important for people to know, because I wasn't even clear on that. But what if you are a visitor coming from the mainland and you're traveling inner island? What happens then?
Okay, you are still subject to the laws that govern the Safe Travels program. So again, Safe Travels is a state of Hawaii program. And it requires everybody who travels into a Hawaii airport to sign up on the Safe Travels website. It used to be that if you were traveling what we call inter-county, because technically we can travel inter-island in the county of Maui, in that Cindy, you or I could go to Molokai Lanai tonight and nobody's going to bother us because it's within the county of Maui.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start traveling to a different county and then try to come back to Maui County, that's when things change.
Yes.
So the state does require all travelers to sign up on the Safe Travels website. The new wrinkle in all of this actually started May 11th, and that is, if you were fully vaccinated within the state of Hawaii, you can be exempted from the Safe Travels requirement that you take and pass a COVID-19 test 72 hours prior to departure. So if you,
which is good news.
Yes, it's good news. So if you are living in the state, you've been vaccinated in the state, and you have family or friends,
and
who
you can
live,
prove you were vaccinated,
and you can prove you were vaccinated, and it has to be in Hawaii.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Because the Department of Health has the capability of confirming, indeed, you are fully vaccinated. I'm sure everybody's aware that there are some falsification.
There's some falsification going on.
And people selling phony vaccine IDs and so forth and so on. So the state of Hawaii will exempt you if you were vaccinated within the state of Hawaii, because the government has the ability to confirm that, yes, indeed, you were vaccinated in the state. But if you're a Hawaii resident...
And this is both vaccinations, if it was Moderna or Pfizer.
So it's fully vaccinated means that you've received two doses if you're taking a two-dose vaccine, one dose if you're taking the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, plus 14 days have transpired since your vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got, say, for example, your final dose last week, guess what? You don't get the exemption because the full 14 days have not transpired.
Now, but this is the part that gets confusing to people, because there's a lot of details in what you just said.
There's a lot of details.
It seems clear, but if you have to remember all that, and you're traveling, you easily could get something wrong, like not having the right time period 2 weeks pass.
That's
from
right.
your vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other kind of wrinkle. The wrinkle in it is because I decided to go, because I found out how important Safe Travels is.
So
I decided to go to Safe Travels and put in my vaccination card information. Okay, so first what I did is and this is what you need to do, folks. You have to take a picture.
That's right.
Probably handy to do it with your phone.
That's right.
Because then it's something you can get. So take a picture of your vaccination card, right? Now, here's what you have to do next. You go to Safe Travels. If you have not done Safe Travels, and many people doing this may not have how to save tribals, because a lot of people still aren't traveling between islands, right?
That's right. And it's the first time they've seen the website. Everybody's thought of safe travels as something that mainlanders have to do to come to Hawaii. And
it's not as simple. It's not as simple as you would think.
Nothing is simple anymore. No.
I mean, I was looking for something that would be like, you know, what I did when I got my vaccination for Minute Medical. It was pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is more complicated than
that. It is.
So you have to, and I actually found it a lot easier to do it on a computer than a phone. I'm just saying.
I agree. And, you know, if you're a millennial, you can live your life from your iPhone.
Right.
But for those of us who are slightly older than millennials, she said, ha ha, okay, boomer. I also find it much easier to fill it out online.
Yeah, well, I mean,
on
just
your computer.
Because then there's a lot of scrolling and things
there
to
is.
Do.
There mm-hmm. is.
Now, for me, I couldn't even get in there without saying that I had a trip planned.
That is correct. So if you are just kind of want to get ready for maybe taking a trip in the future, don't waste your time.
Thank you.
You have to have a flight booked and you have to have a date in mind that you'll be traveling. If you're fully vaccinated, it's really not that big of a thing. Yes, it's a hassle. You have to sign in, open an account, upload your documents and so forth.
But it's more than that. Have you done it? Have you done it?
No,
okay,
but I have sat with somebody who
okay,
did it.
Okay.
So
it's not just that. So you know what I did, and I'm going to tell the truth. Maybe I'll get busted for this. I used that trip that I did a week ago, and it let me in with that, okay?
Yes.
You probably shouldn't have, but so I had they had a record of a flight,
yes.
So I could get in. Okay,
yes.
So then I'm going, okay, I have a picture. I upload the picture I do. Then I tried to hit submit. No. You need to also put in the number that is on your card for both vaccinations. And you will see that there's numbers for both that have a letter and some numbers on both ones.
That's right.
And
that has to be put in. Yes, because it's actually the serial number of the vaccine you received. And that's what the Department of Health will use to confirm that you were indeed vaccinated.
So a half hour later, I did do it.
Okay. Good.
I have it in there. And I'm hoping it's good for my next trip because I'm going to have to go over to Oahu. Because John's over there, and I'll have to bring him back because he's been sick. So
here's the bad news, and
I don't know if this is true or not,
but I also heard that every time you travel, you have to upload your vaccination information again.
Why?
I don't know why.
That doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
It's one of the many things that don't
make
sense.
So I just wasted a half an hour or so of my time.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it could be a rumor. But that's what I heard from others, that, you have to upload it every time you travel.
Will you tell someone that that doesn't make sense?
Well, if I had any pull at the state of Hawaii, I would tell. I tell them lots of things, but nothing happens.
No, if you got your vaccination card and the numbers and your picture, that should be good.
One would think.
I did think.
And perhaps they're making that change now. I don't know. The Safe Travels app and the Safe Travels program online is not quite as simple as we'd like to see it. But
I don't like being a devil's advocate. But many people are saying, of course, do not get your card laminated because you might need a booster shot, right?
That's right. You may.
And if you need a booster shot, then are you going to have that card and re-enter that card with the booster shot?
It's possible. I don't think we know what the future holds.
No, we don't.
but if folks got very excited and went out and got their cards laminated and they regret that or they want to have their original documents back, it is possible to get your original card sent to you by contacting the location where you were vaccinated. And if you don't remember, you don't know how to get in contact with them, you can call the Department of Health in Honolulu and tell them that you would like to have a copy of your documentation for vaccination. And it can happen. You'll either get a certificate from the VAMS system, or you'll get another card, a copy of the card that you received when you went to be vaccinated. So all is not lost. Similarly, if you've lost your vaccination card, I've heard a few people got it and went, what do I need this for? And
sort of threw it in a drawer
someplace and now can't find it.
Exactly.
It is possible to get a replacement.
But it could be more than a half an hour's worth of time at work.
It could take you some time. So if you have that vaccination card,
don't lose it.
Keep it in a safe place. What I did was I went ahead and made a copy. I made a copy on cardstock, and then I put I put that in a little holder that's in plastic, so it's protected. But it's not laminated, and my original is in a safe place with my travel passport at home. So
mine's in my wallet.
Yeah.
And it's already getting frayed.
Yeah.
Around the edges. I just have to say, you know.
So make yourself a copy and carry that in your wallet.
But I didn't do it on cardboard, and that's a good thing. I mean, yeah. I just have it on paper or on my phone. It's not even paper. It's on my phone.
Well,
right?
Again, a photograph on your phone will usually be accepted. Now, if we're going to be talking about the travel, if you're coming in from mainland city,
yes,
and you're a returning Maui resident and you've been fully vaccinated, in this case, you are still required to do the Safe Travels program before you fly to Maui. And that includes your test 72 hours prior to departure that shows you are negative for COVID-19. And for those of you who haven't done this, on the Safe Travels website, you will see a list of quote-unquote trusted testing partners for the state of Hawaii. A mistake that people sometimes make on the mainland is they'll take a cursory glance at the list and they'll think, oh, you know, my drugstore's on the list, whatever. They go and get their tests. They arrive in Hawaii and find out that, no, indeed, where you went to get your test, you didn't get the right kind of test. So not to get too geeky and technical, but Hawaii does require a test that's called a nucleic acid amplification test, which is probably the most accurate COVID test. And that is the test that the so-called trusted partners for the state of Hawaii gives to everybody who's preparing to travel into Hawaii.
And it's got to be 72 hours before.
Within 72 hours before you leave.
And now,
if you're traveling directly from a mainland city to Kahului Airport, when you land at Kahului Airport, you will be subject to a post-arrival rapid COVID-19 test at the airport.
Now, is that everyone at this point or random?
It will be everyone very soon. It's not even random anymore. Now it's going to very selected flights. And I think today or tomorrow, it's all flights coming into Kahului. There was a little bit of a launch period where it was kind of, oh, you know, we'll do the morning flights, we'll do the afternoon flights. I believe as soon as tomorrow will be all flights.
How would they handle that kind of backlog of people coming in? That takes time.
Well, it does take time, and there are some folks who go through the Safe Travels program that are called, they actually pre-process them at the airport of departure, where there's agents that check their ID and their test results, et cetera, check the phone on their app. And those folks who are cleared at their own mainland airport get kind of a bracelet, you know, like you get when you go to an amusement park or something like that. So when they get off the plane, the folks that are processing arrivals in Kahului know, okay, well, they've gone through the Safe Travels, they're clean, they're clear. So now the second question is, have you been fully vaccinated? And in this case, because this is a Maui County program, we are asking that people carry their own vaccination cards. And if you get off the plane and you've got a vaccination card and you've already been through the Safe Travels, you're just waved on through to baggage claim.
That's good.
If you have not been vaccinated, even though you've done Safe Travels, you are subject to the secondary rapid COVID-19 test.
How many people would it take? Did it have to be employed to be able to handle this new? This is like a big deal.
It is a big deal, and the County of Maui has contracted a Maui company called Kupale Technologies that's handling the logistics and so forth, and they're working with Doctors of Waikiki that's handling the medical testing portion of it. So they're all contracted positions. They're, of course, people from Maui that are doing this work, but it's just simply a contract. They're not county employees. So, yes.
This could be like 10 people at least.
Oh, my goodness. I think there's 30 people that are administering tests. And the test administration occurs at the old rental car.
Oh, really?
The rental car area that's right outside of baggage claim.
Oh.
And it's the rapid test. So what I've heard is most people, it's taking between 7 and 25 minutes to get their results. So typically they'll take the rapid test and they'll return to baggage claim and wait for their luggage. And if there is a positive on your rapid test, you'll be contacted by the medical provider company and asked to come back and take a confirmatory test. And that really hasn't happened very often. We've had, since the program began last week, we've had 3 positive of the rapid antigen test. All 3 of those were asked to take the confirmatory nucleic acid amplification test, and all of those came back negative. I'm sorry.
Well, that's good news.
So we've had no positive case of COVID since the program began. So that is good news.
Dr. Bang.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was my aside.
One of the things that we are looking for, and that is if there are any confirmed positive tests, that they will be sent to the lab for analysis, because we're mostly concerned about the variants getting into the Maui community.
And I do understand that. And there have been a large group of people online, as you know, saying that this is necessary.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that they think this is helping.
Well, you know, until you have the data, you don't have the proof, right?
Yep, right?
And the Department of Health has been telling us for the past year that the vast majority of cases in Maui County are caused by community spread. But there is a portion of our community that continues to point to the visitors and says, no, it's them bringing it in. Now, that's not to say that's not possible. Absolutely, it's possible. And we also have, a number of returning residents that are coming back to Maui after spending a week in Las Vegas or whatnot. And oftentimes we find that they come back infected. So it is oftentimes travel related. The question is it tourism related?
Yeah.
And we're hoping this post-arrival test will provide us the data, enough data to say, oh my goodness, look at this. The visitors are bringing in X percent. Or, oh my goodness, look at this. There's nothing coming in from the visitors. So how is this getting out in the community?
Good, very good point.
So that's one of the reasons behind it.
Because we still have high numbers here on Maui.
Well, we have lower numbers than they were, right? So we saw very disappointing right after Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. We had the trifecta of massive local holidays, obviously. We had very high numbers. It was getting very disappointing. And then by February 18th, we had really seen those numbers kind of come down to the single digits. And then on February 18th, boom, they went up again.
Valentine's.
It wasn't so much Valentine's, but we started to see a different pattern of infections in the community. For example, we had so many infections at the correctional facility in February.
Yes, that's right. And then the First Assembly of God.
Right. So that was February. And then moving into March, we saw the cluster at the church in Kahului. But there were other clusters, too, that maybe flew under the radar a little bit. A
couple of restaurants,
A couple of restaurants. But we also had a fairly large outbreak. If you look at the Department of Health cluster report, it will talk about an outbreak in the visitor accommodation industry. And so we asked the DOH specifically, what was that caused by? Because, you know, you see visitor accommodation and you think it's people that are tourists. Well, it turns out this was a group of resort workers who typically will carpool to work. And they're friends, so they get together after work and kind of party together. And that outbreak was almost all that group. So I know when you look at the report, it goes, tourism, wow, 80 some odd people. But when you really get behind and find out the story and you speak with the investigators from the DOH, you find out that, yes, unfortunately, this is yet another case of community spread.
Well, your job is communications, and that's why I have you in here. And I think that has been obvious to the mayor and his people that this was an important story to get out, because we'd see numbers sometimes, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23. It's been in the teens, you know. I mean, 18, 15, I think 11 the other day. But you know, we are, and I think it's done for aloha and safety, but a lot of times we don't see where they come from. So there hasn't always been accountability. So then it leads to conjecture.
Absolutely. And the other side of it is, and I'll be the first one to complain about this, some of the folks who were here during spring break had absolutely no regard for our rules and our traditions here and couldn't give a rip about anybody but themselves. And that makes people angry, especially those of us who've been, you know, sacrificing and wearing masks and staying away from friends and family for the past year. And these guys just kind of fly into town and be like, oh, you know, where I come from, I don't have to wear masks and I don't care what you guys say. Mm-hmm. Didn't go down too well with our community. And I will include myself in that group.
I would agree too.
Yeah.
Absolutely would agree. And then there's the other part of it is that so as we see more and more responsible people getting vaccinated, then we are seeing them feel a little safer, which you should. You should have the right to feel safer once you've been vaccinated. However, this is also applying to some of the visitors who come in because they've been vaccinated. Some of them feel like, well, I'm safe, I'm vaccinated, etc. So it's harder to get the people like that to wear the mask. And then there was a confusion about the CDC guidelines wearing masks versus what our county had.
That's right.
Which was very confusing because the CDC comes out, and I know Haiku Helen says, look, at these are the new rules on CDC, and you know, all these newsletters saying you don't have to wear masks. And then the mayor was here, and he was on the show. I heard him say, you do have to wear masks. So there was a lot of confusion around that.
So there's
that
a lot
of
confusion, and I just want to clarify for people that the CDC is a federal agency, has the right to issue guidelines, and those guidelines can be, you know, stay 6 feet away from people, quarantine 14 days. Later, they change it to 10. Early on, they said masks are not effective. Later, they said masks are effective. Mm-hmm. You should wear them. So they have the authority to issue guidelines based on their science and their findings. Having said that, if you read the guidelines that the CDC issued about not needing to wear masks if you were vaccinated, they did not include in those guidelines any method for determining who is vaccinated.
Right.
And that's the problem that we have, especially with a community that has a lot of visitors. We have no way of knowing if somebody's been vaccinated or not vaccinated. Yes, I suppose we could ask them to show a card. But again, at this point, we have no way of verifying that they were actually vaccinated. So to err on the side of caution, the mayor has said, no, we are not going to lift the mask mandate for Maui County. And I know a lot of folks on the mainland are like, well, why are you guys so strict over here? But if you really understand that we are little islands isolated in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, this is the most isolated populated landmass on the planet, and we have limited hospital facilities here. And once our hospitals get overrun, it's not like we can go over to the town next door to take additional people to another hospital. This is it. This is all we got. Here on the island of Maui, we have Maui Memorial Medical Center. We have Kula Hospital and a couple of other clinics. But certainly we do not have the major type of hospital facilities that you would find in the continental U.S.
And there is, and we were starting to feel fairly secure until this variant from South Africa and Brazil, possibly even after talking to Dr. Pang, I realized the difference in how much of a difference there is and how much more contagious some of those variants are. And California, but I guess the South American and the Brazilian South American and South African ones have a great deal more chance of being very, very contagious.
Right. So the good news is, and I consider this good news, 83% of the cases within Maui County are attributable to what they call the California variant. It's an unfortunate name because it didn't start in California, but it certainly took off there. But it's called the B1429 variant. And it's about maybe 30-35% more contagious than your standard off-the-shelf COVID-19 that hit us a year ago. The good news is it's not more serious. So what we're concerned about more than anything else are the ones that are more deadly. We really want to prevent those variants from getting into Maui County. So what we're looking at right now, of course, the UK variant is more concerning because it's more serious. Also, the Brazilian variant, which now they think there's more than one variant because of the high infection rate in Brazil. It's had a chance to sort of evolve and mutate
and,
a little
and
bit
the
more.
And the same thing for the Indian, because they do say the Indian variant is bound to be happening with what's going on, that they're going to have a lot of variants because it's so intense in India right
now. It's so intense, and there is one called the double India variant that's been identified and isolated in the Bay Area, which is just a flight away from us, folks.
Oh, I have not heard about that.
And that one, they are concerned it's both more infectious and more dangerous. So hence the reason for the additional screening at the airport, really being vigilant, looking out for the introduction of these variants from other places.
Well, that does help knowing that and explaining that. And I assume, going back to one of my original questions, which I think is answered now, when I again talked to and listened to Peter Greenberg, and he was saying he wasn't sure now that you could travel inner island, if you are vaccinated, that would not then apply to visitors because it has to be vaccination in Hawaii. So that would not apply inner island.
No, it would not. Mm-hmm. The inter-county travel exemption for vaccinations is intended to serve our Hawaii residents. Mm-hmm. It is not intended to, shall we say, include visitors who maybe want to go island hopping or something like that. As I said, we currently have no way to confirm if somebody's been vaccinated unless it's happened in the state of Hawaii.
Okay, so I think you did a very good job of explaining that. So
thank you, Cindy.
Now, there was one other program from the county, which Connie, I guess because it came out on Sunday, went totally over my head and I missed it, which had to do with the bars and restaurants.
Yeah, so we had new emergency rules that were enforced right when we saw that huge spike, and they've been in force for quite some time. For example, I shop at Pukalani Super Red Up Country, and they've been under a mandate that they may only have up to 30% of their maximum occupancy in that store. Mm-hmm. So when you go there on a weekend, you'll usually see a line of people patiently waiting to go shop at Pukalani Superette. Due to the fact that community spread has dropped so much, if you actually take out those large clusters that we talked about, the everyday sort of transmission of COVID has come down quite a bit. So the mayor felt it was safe enough to adjust some of these guidelines that have been in place since April. So what we're seeing now is that restaurants and retail operations can have up to 50% of their maximum occupancy. Bars and restaurants can stay open till 11 p.m. at night. It was previously 10.
And that wasn't really widely publicized, I think, because it came out on Sunday. I mean, I literally just happened, that one just flew by over my head, you know.
Yeah.
And I just realized it today when I was looking through some information. And that's a big story.
It is a big story. But, you know, we announced it actually on Friday, but the law is...
Friday's take out the trash day.
Okay.
You know, in the news business, and when you want something to be forgotten, you announce it on Friday.
Well, we announced it because the governor approved it on Friday. So as soon as we got his approval, we did announce it. But it was, the rules were intended to go into effect on Sunday, Mother's Day, which was the 9th of May. So they are in effect right now. And for those of you who would like to read them in detail, they're on the Maui County website, mauicounty.gov. You can just click on them and read them. They're very boring, but I can tell you the big highlights. So,
well, I mean, I got Bryant Neal, but Bryant, you got to wait a minute because we got 3 minutes left, okay? Will you hold on, Brian? Oh, there he is. Yeah, just hold on for a couple minutes because I'm finishing up with Terry, okay?
No problem.
Okay, good. So this is important. Now restaurants can have 50, and this is really because I hadn't even absorbed all this. Restaurants can have 50%.
Interior occupancy. Mm-hmm. We did allow more outdoor activity at restaurants because it being outdoors tends to tamp down the potential for COVID spread.
But this is very important.
It is very important.
Very important.
Yes.
Okay, and bars can stay open to 11 o'clock.
That's right, and restaurants.
And restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
This is big news, and I don't think a lot of people know this still.
Oh, I think the bars
think
and restaurants
know that?
Know,
they know it?
Yeah,
okay.
They absolutely do.
And there was I'm sure they probably know this. There was assistance offered for that was, I think, federal assistance for restaurants as well, just about 2 weeks ago.
That's right. There is a program for federal assistance for food service operations that were harmed during the pandemic. I don't have the details on that, yeah. But it is a federal program, yeah.
And so this is going to really, really help because, you know, I love a lot of restaurant owners, retail. People are my friends, especially owner-operators, and this will be very, very helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of us, at least I did myself, got very used to doing takeout during the pandemic. I continue to do that.
Yeah.
I know the restaurants need their tables for folks who want to dine in, mm-hmm. and so I just call in a takeout order and pick it up on my way home. So,
which is great. And I just want to throw out there, too, folks, if you're going to go to a restaurant and you make a reservation, don't make a reservation and not show up.
Please don't. They really need to know.
Yeah. I mean, they hold that table for you and they
mm-hmm.
turn other people away. And when you don't show up, that's business they're losing.
Yep.
So,
and the same thing's happening in the vaccine lines, unfortunately. People are making appointments to get vaccinated and then go, oh, well, you know, there's plenty of vaccine. If I don't show up today, no biggie. But the problem is, of course, is that the provider is waiting for you to show up and they've held the vaccine for you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people involved in that. So,
you know, be considerate, please.
Well, I thank you very much, Terry. I love the fact that you can explain in regular English what's going on so that we can understand it. And you've clarified a lot of things for me. And I really appreciate that clarification.
Anytime, Cindy.
One last thing I want to say, because maybe you can do this with Gary before you go. I want you to do a PSA on this, which is the website that people still don't know about that's very important, Maui Nui Strong.
MauiNuiStrong.info. You'll find all the information you need about vaccines, about the rules, about travel requirements, all of it. Everything COVID-related is on that site. Again, it's MauiNuiStrong.info, I-N-F-O.
Make a PSA on that, okay, so we can run that. That's important. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate
Anytime,
you coming in.
Anytime, Cindy.
I know how busy you are. So thank you, and thank you again.
I'll leave these with
you. We love you. Okay, thank you. Now,